Spring has finally sprung. The beautiful flower buds are starting to blossom and bloom as the birds cheerfully chirp. Consequentially, the countryside will be quite colorful and full of tons of contrasting sights, sounds, and smells. Let's commence this spectacular season with a fantastic feast while we hunt for Easter eggs that may have been left behind by that beloved bunny.
Meow. What's up, Doc?
No, not you, Bugs Bunny. Join me as we stuff our faces with friends and family on the exciting Easter episode of FYI. Welcome to For Your Info.
English.
You got it. Welcome to this, another exciting edition of FYI. And folks, you can probably hear it in my voice already. I'm a bit stuffed up, so you might hear me blowing my nose or sneezing. But if that does happen, don't worry, I will edit it out. But I thought I would just teach you that vocabulary. Sonar los mocos. Hey, it's something that you have to do in allergy season. And today we're going to be talking a lot about the spring. Because as I said in the intro, spring has finally sprung. And to spring is to show up. And sprung is the third column, the past participle. It's an idiomatic expression that we often use with spring. And if you heard at the beginning, I also took a deep breath. Let's do that right now. It feels really good. Inhale, exhale, and get ready to learn some exciting English. I also said in the intro, the beautiful flower buds are starting to blossom. And you might remember some of this vocabulary from our gardening episode. The bud is the unopened flower, capullo. Oh, no, I'm not insulting you. I'm telling you what it's called. Bud, which is weird because capullo is idiot or jerk in English, and bud is amigo. That's weird. And to blossom is another way of saying to bloom. I think many of you remember that series that was on TV, the sitcom, Blossom. I used to watch it religiously. Okay, I admit it. Then I said the birds cheerfully chirp. And birds chirp or tweet. Does that sound familiar? Chirp, 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 tweet, tweet, tweet. We all know that from Twitter as well. Just remember, if you write the word tweet in English, it's not T-W-I-T, it's T-W-E-E-T. Twit is capullo. Hey, that went full circle. Then I said, consequentially, the countryside will be quite colorful and full of tons of contrasting sights and smells. I love the smell of spring. I don't know about you guys, but I love it when the flowers are starting to bloom. You can smell different smells in the air. And there's a certain newness in the air as well. Then I said, let's commence this spectacular season with a fantastic feast. And did you like that word? Commence? Comenzar? Okay, we copied you there. But who doesn't want a fantastic feast? I think you say festín, a big meal. And of course, we have to hunt for Easter eggs. And we're going to talk about how the Easter egg hunt tradition began. And of course, we'll talk a little bit about that beloved Easter bunny as he goes hop, hop, hop. And of course, the most famous bunny, Bugs Bunny, whose famous catchphrase in English is, what's up, Doc? My daughter loves imitating him. She also imitates Daffy Duck. This is despicable. Remember, imitation is so important when we're learning a language. So are you ready to stuff your faces? That means to pig out, to eat a lot, to chow down. All right, well, friends and family, jump on board as we discover Easter. Oh, and happy Easter. So let's start out with the date. When is Easter? Easter is a mystery. It changes. The date changes from year to year. It always falls on a Sunday, but the actual date depends on the moon cycles. And more specifically, it's the Sunday after the Paschal full moon. And that rings a bell. Paschal, Pascual de Pascua. And a full moon is obviously una luna llena. So it's another holiday that has to do with the seasons and the changing of the moons and the sun and the stars and all the constellations, stuff that I don't even know the first thing about, but I still find fascinating. But as we looked at in many episodes, Halloween, it's about the change in seasons, the harvest, Christmas, Thanksgiving. Even though they have their religious roots, they all have something to do with the changing. A new beginning, a new season, a new moon. So let's define Easter. Easter is also called Pascha, not Pascha, like that club in Ibiza. It's also called Resurrection Sunday, and it is a Christian festival and cultural holiday. Careful with that word, cultural. I've heard people say cool, right? It's cultural. And it commemorates the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, when he rises from the dead and comes back on the third day. This is described in the New Testament, which, by the way, if you haven't heard the FYI episode on the Bible with my mom, give it a listen. My mom is awesome. Or as I always tell people, the way to remember the pronunciation of bomb, my mom is the bomb. So according to the New Testament, on the third day after his burial, Jesus rose from the grave. As the Bible says, he was crucified. And this is the culmination of what is called the Passion of Jesus Christ. It's preceded by Lent, or Great Lent. We just call it Lent. I think you say Quaresma? Well, this is a 40-day period of fasting, prayer, and penance. And to fast is to go without food. How do you say desayunar in English? Breakfast. Okay, but if you split the words up, break fast. Romper la ayuna, desayunar. It's a good way to remember. It's also a regular verb. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Christians commonly refer to the week before Easter as Holy Week. You say the same thing, Semana Santa. And in Western Christianity, it begins on Palm Sunday. You say Domingo de Ramos. We call it Palm Sunday. And then you've got Spy Wednesday, which is the betrayal of Jesus. Then you've got Maundy Thursday, which commemorates the washing of the feet at the Last Supper. And the Last Supper is La Última Cena. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, isn't it the Last Dinner? Well, yes, supper is another way to say it. And this painting is called The Last Supper. Here's a little trivia question for you. Where can you find this famous painting, The Last Supper?
We'll be back in a flash.
This is Christine Estrada with Living Purpose Podcast. Do you know what your purpose is? What makes you tick? What motivates you to discover new things? Where do you find the motivation and strength to lean in to searching for that purpose? All of these are questions that I have had for many years. And if you're like me and these questions have been ruminating for you, or you just love good stories about everyday people doing everyday greatness, then you have found the space. I invite you to come sit with Living Purpose Podcast and lean into the beauty of storytelling. This is where stories matter. Consider joining us every month as we dive into discovering new pathways to purpose.
Did you say Milan? Nice job. You really know your art. And then, of course, you've got Good Friday. And I think that's always a funny one. Que tengas buen Viernes Santo. Have a good Friday. And obviously, it was not a good Friday. This commemorates the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Easter is also linked to Passover. And growing up in New York around a lot of Jewish people, I knew a lot about Passover. And this is the Exodus from Egypt. It's recorded in the Old Testament through the Last Supper, sufferings, and the crucifixion that obviously precede the resurrection. And according to this, Jesus gave the Passover meal. Again, there's the meal, there's sharing. And he gave this meal a new meaning. He supposedly identified the bread and the cup of wine as his body, soon to be sacrificed, and his blood soon to be shed. We all know this now. It's represented in the communion. And obviously, depending on what religion you follow, you'll have different ideas, different beliefs. Even within Christianity, Easter is usually a public holiday, especially in countries where Christianity is a state religion or where most of the population is Christian. But think about it. As Easter always falls on a Sunday, well, you don't get a day off, at least not in the United States. Some people move it on over to Monday and they give you Monday off. Again, usually not in the United States. Also, Good Friday tends to be a holiday as well in many of the countries that celebrate Easter. And if you've got the day off, it's definitely a good Friday. And you'll even find on Good Friday that many financial institutions, stock markets, and public schools are closed. And if they're normally open on Easter Sunday, well, obviously they close that Sunday as well. In the Nordic countries, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and Easter Monday are public holidays. In Denmark, Iceland, and Norway, Maundy Thursday is also a public holiday. So every region has their own celebrations and decides how many days off you'll get. Because that's the question we all want to know. How many days off do we get? Let's take a look at some traditions right now. Some Easter traditions we'll find are sunrise services, services at the crack of dawn. A service is a mass. Also, you'll find late night vigils and midnight masses. Churches are also very floral. They decorate them with a lot of flowers. Again, we're announcing a new beginning. Spring has come. The Lord has risen. It's very common for women to wear Easter bonnets. Easter bonnets are these very decorative hats. They even have Easter bonnet competitions, which we'll talk about in the bonus part. And we'll look at some idiomatic expressions. There's one that comes to mind with bonnets, but we'll look at that in the bonus episode. We'll also take a look at spring break destinations in the United States. We'll take a look at it in pop culture. We'll also take a look at the dark side of these Easter celebrations. Oh, yes, there's always a dark side. And, of course, some fun facts and tons of idiomatic expressions. All that and much more in the bonus episode of this week's FYI. If you want access to that bonus episode, plus PDF documents where you can follow along, and you can even get classes with me where we review the vocabulary from each episode. And if that's not enough, you can even get private classes with me. But all of that is over on patreon.com/Alberto Alonso. I think there are 180 of us in the community right now, and it is absolutely mind-blowing. Thank you so much, guys, for wanting to be a part of my community, for contributing to my community, and keep up the great work. You know who you are. In fact, I'd like to take a moment right now to send a shout out to all my patrons, especially my super duper students, Marta, Javier, Paco, Roberto, and my interstellar students, the ones who get a private class with me every month, along with the review classes every week. Give it up for Carmen, Lina, Isa, Paco, David, Jose Maria, Patricio, and Edgar. If you want to find out more, go over to patreon.com/Alberto Alonso and join our curious community. Other traditions that are associated with Easter are Easter parades. And you don't even have to be religious to go to an Easter parade. Parades are fun. and don't let anybody rain on your parade. Did you like that joke? All right, it wasn't that funny. But did you know that idiomatic expression? I won't let anybody rain on my parade. Nadie me va a amargar la fiesta. In some parts of Eastern Europe, you have communal dancing. Hey, that might be a good place for you to go, Jose Maria. You can go there for Easter one year and practice your communal dancing, your traditional Easter communal dancing. A shout out to Jose Maria, one of my students, who's also a dance student. Of course, we already mentioned the Easter bunny and Easter egg hunts. But there's also food that's made, traditional breads that are made, traditional dishes. And depending on what region or culture you live in, they're different. Some are the same, such as jelly beans. Jelly beans and chocolate. Oh, is anybody getting hungry? Anybody here with a sweet tooth? I gotta say, I'm not really a chocolate lover, but I love jelly beans. Well, did you know that 16 billion jelly beans are produced in the United States every year? Yeah, that is a lot of jelly beans. If you put them together end to end, they could circle the earth more than 5 times. Just a little fun foodie fact there. And we'll take a look at more fun foodie facts in the bonus episode. But whether you're having chocolate eggs or chocolate bunnies, chocolate is huge. And please, please don't say chocolate. It's chocolate. Say it with me. Chocolate. And if you haven't heard the FYI episode on chocolate, give it a listen. The first thing I cover in the episode is how to pronounce it correctly. But I will warn you, the episode may cause hunger. So when did this Easter bunny show up? Well, I don't know when he showed up in the world, but I can tell you when he showed up in the United States. It was the 18th century, and Germans who immigrated to America brought this tradition called Osterhas, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but they brought it with them. And this was basically the tradition of a bunny who magically laid eggs. So the Easter bunny appeared in the United States in the 1700s. I didn't know he was that old. Or she. Well, it is androgynous. And what about dyeing eggs or decorating eggs? I love doing this. In fact, some of my earliest Easter memories are sitting around the table with my mom and my sister and my cousins and dyeing eggs. And no, I don't mean dyeing muriendo. I mean dyeing teñir. But I had no idea as a little kid that the egg is an ancient symbol of new life and rebirth. And in Christianity, it's become associated with Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. But the custom of the Easter egg originated in the early Christian community of Mesopotamia. And there, they stained eggs red in memory of the blood of Christ, the blood that he shed at his crucifixion. Also, the Easter egg is a symbol of the empty tomb. I had no idea that those traditions went back so far. I thought we were just coloring eggs and making them look cool. Oh, and I recommend you use hard-boiled eggs. And of course, you can eat them afterwards. No need to waste food. Nowadays, too, you see a lot of people replacing real eggs with plastic eggs or chocolate eggs or, you know, maybe plastic ones filled with jelly beans. There's no wrong way to do an Easter egg hunt. And when did this Easter egg hunt thing start? We're getting there, trust me. It just wouldn't be Easter if I didn't mention peeps. Because we already mentioned chocolate, and we also mentioned jelly beans. But what about peeps? Do you peeps know what peeps are? Peeps is another way of saying gente, my peeps. But peeps are also these little marshmallow candies that are sugar-covered, and they're very popular, not all year round, they're very popular during Easter. If you haven't tried Peeps, they're awesome. They're addictive. But I didn't realize that the idea behind the sweets is that a lot of people give up sweets for Lent. So obviously, Easter Sunday, they're finally able to have something sweet. It makes total sense. Now we're getting to the famous Easter egg hunt. And I want to send a shout out to my Aunt Grace, who used to be our Easter Bunny. Oh yeah, I know, my parents did a great job, but my Aunt Grace, for some reason, she really loved this holiday, and she would go all out. Lo daba todo. And I remember her hiding Easter eggs all around my grandmother's yard, and we would spend what felt like hours hunting for Easter eggs just to see who would get the most. And it was magical, to say the least. I have a huge beaming smile on my face right now. So again, it's like every holiday. It's got the meaning that you attach to it. In this case, whether you're religious or not, it's a time to be with your friends and family. I mean, who doesn't like Semana Santa? It's that break before the summer that you really, really need. That spring break. And we'll talk about that in the bonus part, because spring break, when we say that in the United States, something else comes to mind. Party! Woo! But right now, we're going to go back to 1875. The British chocolate company Cadbury, the famous Cadbury eggs, if you haven't tried those, they're excellent, they sponsored an annual Easter egg hunt. This was in the UK, and that caught on like wildfire. It eventually spread to the United States, where now, on Easter Monday, the President of the United States holds the annual Easter egg roll. This takes place on the White House lawn, and it's aimed at children. So the way the egg roll works is this. You have to be 13 and under. Obviously, it's not open to everybody. I don't know how you would sign up. Well, anyway, that's besides the point. But it was started in the United States by Dolly Madison, the wife of President James Madison. They started the event in 1814, and it's still practiced to this day. This tradition with children on the White House lawn rolling eggs. And the way it works is they push an egg through the grass with a long-handled spoon. Obviously, the Easter Bunny makes an appearance. There are speeches. There's a band. I mean, it's a very festive experience. But don't take my word for it. Why don't we listen to former President Trump presenting the Easter egg roll when he was president? As you can see, it's a time when everybody puts their politics aside, and I think the main goal is to make sure the kids have fun and enjoy this amazing holiday. Let's go to the White House lawn.
Well, welcome to the 2018 White House Easter egg roll. So many people, you know, it was supposed to be pouring, the weather. It was supposed to be very rainy and nasty and cold and windy. And look what we have. Perfect weather. Perfect weather. Beautiful weather. Thank you all for being here, folks. Thank you all. I want to really thank the First Lady, Melania, who has done an incredible job. She worked so hard on this event, and so I want to thank you. That's beautiful. Also, I want to thank the White House Historical Association and all of the people that work so hard with Melania, with everybody, to keep this incredible house or building or whatever you want to call it, because there really is no name for it. It is special. And we keep it in tip-top shape. We call it sometimes tippy-top shape. And it's a great, great place. It's an honor to have everybody on behalf of the Trump family, many of whom are with us right here in the audience. I just want to thank you. This is a special year. Our country is doing great. You look at the economy, you look at what's happening. Nothing's ever easy, but we have never had an economy like we have right now, and we're going to make it bigger and better and stronger. Our military is now at a level, will soon be at a level that it's never been before. It's you see what's happening, and you see what's happening with funding. The funding of our military was so important, and so many military people are with us today. So just think of $700 billion, because that's all going into our military this year. So I want to thank you all for being here. The band, unbelievable. I love you people. I hear them a lot. They're as talented as anybody and any players anywhere. So thank you very much. And now I'm going to come down, and we're going to watch this roll. Thank you all, and have a great time. Thank you. Happy Easter. Thank you very much.
Well, we have reached the end of the first part. I sure hope you'll join us in the bonus episode of this week's FYI.